Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to InfoWars Nightly News on this May 10, 2012 edition. Coming up on the show tonight.
Tonight, justice will be served. Fullerton police beat Kelly Thomas to death. And now, possible charges against third officer. Alex Jones reports. Then, conflict in Syria escalates as more bombs tear through Damascus. Plus, the exclusive premiere of a new powerful documentary released by InfoWars investigative journalist Patrick Henningsen. Open Borders, Special Report, Fast and Furious. Premieres tonight in its entirety, only on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Okay, now we're going to go to a special report by Alex Jones regarding the epidemic of police brutality in America, with specific reference to the Kelly Thomas beating and the latest developments in that case. Let's go to this video.
Well, hey, I'm sick of playing games.
A year ago, InfoWars.com reported on the brutal beating, tortured death of 37-year-old Kelly Thomas, born the same year I was. This is him before. By the way, his father's a retired police officer. He says he's ashamed of what police have turned into in this country. And here he is after. And he didn't resist anything. It was all on video from the police surveillance system. They beat him to death over 9 minutes.
Dude, please, please, take the guy, dude, I'm sorry.
Face down. A few days ago, they released the video, and we posted it on InfoWars.com. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't go watch it. There's so much police brutality, tasering, murder, death. And let me tell you something, folks. I could barely watch this. The cops are getting off on it. They play the game of saying, don't move, while they... I'm going to taser you in the belly.
Okay. Here, dude. Here, just come.
Sorry.
Please.
Hey, Harry, come on.
Please stop, dude. Please.
It's just like you'd imagine Jeffrey Dahmer while he was torturing people. And they just keep tasering and tasering. You see, they've upped the power of tasers. They know that in the internal literature, all these systems are called less lethal. So they just train the public that they're basically able to torture us and then even kill us. It's all pain compliance. And they're training police in all this and just normalizing it. This is what they're going to turn loose on everybody. And they're trying to get all the cops to become these demon creatures. And it is really disgusting. And the culture of just worshiping police no matter what is what has allowed this. Now, they're charging one cop with second-degree murder, another with manslaughter. No, folks, this is torture. And probably the only reason these guys are even getting charged is that the guy's dad is a retired, well-known police officer in the area and spoke out. And they're like, well, since your son was a son of a god, an upper-class, you know, minion of the New World Order, we're going to do something about it. Now, more cars arrive, and it's just the beating with the batons. Well, you saw the damage, just the enjoyment. The piranha, or really what I'd call the orgy-type feeding frenzy of the sharks, gets pretty bad. Now, the begging for daddy's coming up.
Help us! He's on something.
I got this.
And then he begins sobbing like a child for daddy. That's what people do generally before they pass out and well, then later die. And the police are really enjoying it and getting off on it. I've seen footage and videos that's in my film, Martial Law, where they're breaking a pro-lifer's arms. So there's the face of the New World Order. And they killed this guy. And then after they've pretty much killed him, you know, he died later at the hospital. When he's laying there, there's blood pouring out in all directions. They all basically act like they want to have a cigarette, like they just had sex or something. I mean, there's a real satisfaction congratulating each other coming up. So, you know, they've gone out and bagged a trophy. A homeless guy hadn't done anything wrong. Booth, by the way, was mentally ill. And they reportedly said he was schizophrenic. That's why he was on the streets. And there's just a lot of begging for daddy here, and that really gets them excited. And you can turn the audio up and hear, like, the little grunts and satisfactions, and the cops are all having adrenaline and getting up and walking around in circles. I mean, this was a fun kill right here. This felt really good. And this is what all tyranny set up.
How do you want to pull this down? So he's got together already in the front.
He's talking
about him in the front. Okay, it's the best way I can
do it. Because of the fight.
I say, wait, I don't want to take those
he's
off.
He's still going to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still fine, dude.
Relax. Relax. Relax.
Okay.
What's this guy's name?
That around to us.
You don't even know. I'm trying to get it. Should we need to pull him up? Relax. Relax.
Oh, we get we pull this legs up?
Sure. Relax. Fuck. Give it. He's still fighting.
Okay.
Please put him in the front, though. Can you hook that right here in the front?
Yeah, let me get the glove out and I'll get you.
The chain's right there.
Okay.
That's him right there. Which way did you wrap these? Relax.
You know, my grandfather worked in less lethal weapons development. Developed a taser robot, a remote control system. Sold to the Pentagon. They never mass developed it, but they were told to call it non-lethal. This was back in the 60s. But they know they're lethal. And that's what it's all about. They just train us with rubber bullets and all the rest of it and kill people all the time. They're just getting everybody ready for it. And then you talk back, they use it on you. And it's all about all these people that crave authority getting into these positions. And, again, the begging for daddy just goes on and on. This made me sick watching it. But, you know, for him, he got to die quickly, though. Not like all these kids that, you know, the formula is more than half corn syrup and the diabetes exploding or the cancer viruses and the vaccines or the way the globalists kill us. Because, see, these guys like to kill people there on the ground. The Rockefellers and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they like to do it real slow through soft kill. And, you know, all these cops are taking soft kill. See, there's bigger, badder demons than you boys up above you. And it's all about their force continuum. Well, he didn't comply properly. They gave him an order to put, you know, hands on his head, hands on his knees. He said, which one? The guy said, that's it. You see my fist? I'm going to F you up. Get on the ground. He gets on the ground, and the murdering starts. Ha, ha, yeah. Oh, it's so good to be a psychopath in America and get to torture people to death. Just like Abu Ghraib, the Army's own reports where they raped children in front of their parents. People have been defending that. Well, not me. I don't want any part of it, any part of your demonic New World Order or fetal parts, fetal tissue in the Pepsi or the cosmetics. I don't want any part of it. All right, America, you want an evil? You're going to be judged by it. To be quite honest, I can't even watch the entire thing. I've watched pieces of it. I watched about 90% of it. It is unbelievable. We'll post this video and the full video up at Infowars.com. But I guess we need to start watching more of this, because this was out like 4 or 5 days ago, and I just couldn't look at it. But I made myself this morning, and it shook me to my core. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com.
Down. Huh? Somebody's head.
Yeah.
Did I do it?
Yeah.
Facial?
Is that you or him?
I think it's him, because I ran out of options, so I got the end of my taser, and I just smashed his face in the hell.
Yeah.
He's on something, dude.
He went on a fight over there, and we fought him over there.
He was on something.
There's three of us.
He couldn't even control.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. On my elbow, yeah. That just...
This guy's on something that just like called us to fight him. He's the one that you're going to need to look at.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The epidemic of police brutality continues apace. And basically, I know that at every major summit now, in whatever country you go to, there's police brutality. But just in terms of routine, day-to-day thuggery, it seems that America takes the biscuit over every other country. I mean, police in Britain and Western countries, of course, there's a lot of corruption and false arrests. But just the brutal beatdowns and unrepentant thuggery, as you saw there with that example of Kelly Thomas. There's a story from the US about it almost every day, and we know why it is. Partly because basically the police in America are being trained that the population is the enemy, not just the criminals now, but because everybody is guilty until proven innocent, the view is shifted. Whereas now they treat us all as potential enemies, specifically in America. That's why we're seeing such an epidemic of police abuse. And I just find it interesting. I mean, you know, where's Amnesty International? Where's Human Rights Watch? These organizations will tell you all day about minorities being persecuted in foreign countries, but I haven't seen them address once the epidemic of police brutality within America itself. So, I mean, we need to acknowledge that this is a major problem and that it's, you know, it's most rife in America, but these top human rights organizations just really don't have a lot to say about it. Moving on to our next story on InfoWars Nightly News. Syria conflict, Damascus bomb increases pressure on UN. This is out of BBC News. The bombings that tore through Damascus on Thursday morning were the sixth terrorist attack to have struck the city since December. And basically, you've got 55 dead. This is the worst act of violence since the tensions in Syria began. And who's behind it? Well, it's the same Al-Qaeda terrorists that helped NATO overthrow Gaddafi in Libya. They now fly the Al-Qaeda flag over Syria. This is the very same Al-Qaeda terrorists that Hillary Clinton says are on the same side as the United States and the NATO powers in Syria. So while we're being propagandized, you know, about Al-Qaeda underwear bombers, the terrifying deadly plot, which turns out to be the work of a CIA informant, the real Al-Qaeda is doing NATO's dirty work in Syria, while the mainstream media is still portraying these rebels who are being directed by terrorists as defenseless demonstrators. And I made a video earlier today for YouTube where basically I point out that yet again, the London Guardian and a lot of the other mainstream media has handed over, just willfully handed over its 24-hour rolling news coverage to anonymous activists with Twitter accounts who claim with no evidence that these bombings are false flag staged events carried out by Assad's regime itself to demonize the rebels. So, you know, I get it. When we have actual hardcore evidence for false flag attacks launched by the US government, for example, such as the Christmas Day underwear bomber, you know, helped onto the plane, well-dressed man, CIA ordered him to be let through despite the fact that he had no passport, was on a terror watch list. When we talk about false flag attacks and point the finger at Western governments, it's a thought crime. But when, you know, Syrian activists with dubious anonymous Twitter accounts do it, they're just handed the front page of The Guardian and major global newspapers. You know, the dangerous 9/11 truthers and their nutball conspiracy theories are all marginalized when it's about terror attacks in the West. But apparently, so I'm told, false flag attacks only occur in Middle Eastern nations that are the target of NATO regime change. Isn't that a coincidence? So basically, you've got The Guardian handing over its entire news coverage to these Twitter, anonymous Twitter activists who claim it's all a false flag. Because, of course, the terrorists carrying out the bombings are NATO-backed, NATO-funded, NATO-transported, airlifted them in from Libya. And on top of that, we've got these tweets now from Ambassador Susan Rice, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. And she's come out with a couple of tweets. The first one is, quote, bombings also remind us of the urgent need for a political solution in Syria before it is too late. So she's seizing on bombings committed by NATO-backed, US-backed Al-Qaeda terrorists as a justification for NATO military involvement. That's pure terrorism, carrying out the attacks and then using them for political point scoring. And listen to this. This is another tweet from Ambassador Rice. The longer Assad clings to power, the greater the risk of destabilization in Syria and throughout the region. So she's basically threatening more destabilization. She's basically saying, yeah, you're going to get bombed some more. Hope you enjoy it. And it's just brazen terrorism. She's claiming that these bombings make it, you know, grease the skids even more for a NATO military assault. And it's the NATO-backed terrorists who are behind the bombings. But not if you're the Guardian, when it's all a false flag, wild conspiracy theory, which is how they normally characterize false flags. But because anonymous, dubious Twitter users are saying it, you know, it's the height of credibility. Normal rules do not apply. Moving on InfoWars Nightly News, group that admitted manufacturing global warming threat still pushes same hoax. PrismPlanet.com story. And basically, our old friends in the global warming alarmist movement are up to their old tricks once again. The secretive Club of Rome has issued a report entitled 2052, a global forecast for the next 40 years, which decries improving living standards in developing countries and warns that man-made climate change could eventually kill off humans entirely. So who is the Club of Rome? Well, it's similar to the Bilderberg Group. It's a collection of power brokers. They don't meet very often like Bilderberg do annually, but they put out reports like this one, warning us that if we don't pay carbon taxes to Al Gore and Marie Strong, both Club of Rome members, that, you know, the sky's going to fall in. Global warming is going to wipe out humanity. And why it's rich, and I mean, this, of course, this is what the mainstream media has failed to report and point out in each one of these articles about this new Club of Rome report. Basically, they're calling for a new system of governance, global governance, enforcing eco-fascism on the back of fears about rising temperatures. But this is the very same group, the same organization who in their 1990 report, The First Global Revolution, openly admitted that they had manufactured the idea, the quote idea, to use global warming as a means of creating this fake outside threat of eco-apocalypse. And this is the direct quote from the report, which you can read in the article. Quote, in searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine and the like, would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. And this passage appears under a subheadline entitled, quote, the common enemy of humanity is man. So basically, that's them admitting that they manufactured this phony threat to make mankind the enemy. And now they're going to punish mankind by enforcing this draconian global government in the name of saving the planet. So again, you know, even as the science discredits the global warming alarmists, just as it discredited the Paul Ehrlichs and John P. Holdrens of the world when they were fear-mongering about a deadly new ice age back in the 70s, the modern-day climate change alarmists are being discredited once again by the very science. You know, polar bear populations exploding, emperor penguins exploding, ice sheets thickening, Bering sea ice thickening, Himalayas ice thickening. The temperature is in fact getting colder, and they're once again fear-mongering about rising temperatures requiring the need for a new global government and a carbon tax, when they were the ones who admittedly said, we're going to create this fake scare and blame it on humanity to get this power. So, you know, just pay your carbon tax to Al Gore and Marie Strong and everything will be okay. They'll save the world. Farage, we face the prospect of mass civil unrest in Europe. PrismPlanet.com story once again. MEP and UKIP leader Nigel Farage, who, of course, is a regular Alex Jones Show guest, gave a stirring speech yesterday in front of the EU Parliament, during which he warned of mass civil unrest in Europe while vocally denouncing the very EU policies which are causing that unrest. And we've got the clip of the speech, so Let's roll the clip.
But like communism, this has all gone badly wrong. And the EU Titanic has now hit the iceberg. It is a European Union of economic failure, of mass unemployment, of low growth. But worst of all, it's an EU with the economic prison of the euro. We cannot do it if we're asked to rally behind that flag. I owe no allegiance to that flag, and nor to most of the people in Europe either.
And Farage is by no means alone in warning of this massive civil dislocation in Europe as a result of this euro crisis, which, of course, as we know in recent days, has deepened because of the promises by the new Greek radical left leader who's attempting to form this anti-bailout coalition. So it's all heading south once again. But do we remember the report about the British government warning their embassies in Europe to prepare for the safe evacuation of British expats in the aftermath of a euro currency collapse? Remember that report in the Telegraph? They were talking about people not being able to withdraw cash, no access to bank accounts if the single currency collapsed. We also had the top US military commander, General Martin Dempsey, back in December, saying he was concerned that the United States could be exposed to the collapse of the eurozone as well, quote, because of the potential for civil unrest and breakup of the union. And this is all coming to the fore once again in recent days. So basically, because these eurocrats are desperate to cling on to their pet project, which is the euro single currency, which of course was hatched by the Bilderberg Group, which itself created the EU back in 1955, decades before it was officially proposed in the Maastricht Treaty, because they would rather see chaos and bloodshed on the streets of Europe than allow this kind of orderly collapse of the eurozone. They're only creating the toxic environment for a more disorderly collapse at some later date. And just another fantastic, stirring speech by Nigel Farage of UKIP, who is one of the very few MEPs taking on the authoritarian, dictatorial European Union. Scientific Go City to test future technology. This is out of Yahoo News. The world first $1 billion scientific Go City will be built in New Mexico to test the latest next generation technology. Researchers will use the facility at Lay County near Hobbs to look at everything from intelligent traffic systems and next generation wireless networks to automatic washing machines and self-flushing toilets. How very convenient. No one will live there, although they're going to be houses with all the necessities like appliances and plumbing. So basically, they're building this huge $1 billion clandestine city where the appliances and infrastructure will be tested behind closed doors. And of course, this is the place where the Internet of Things, hailed by CIA chief David Petraeus as the, you know, new great dawn of surveillance, this is where all these little appliances for clandestine statecraft are going to be tested. This is where the IntelliStreet light poles that also have Homeland Security applications are going to be honed to spy on your conversations as they bragged they could as you walk down the street. So basically, it's all about beta testing Big Brother in this $1 billion secret ghost scientific city. Next story on InfoWars Nightly News, Soylent Pepsi is people. It's considered business as usual. The Obama administration has ruled there is nothing wrong with using aborted human fetus tissue to flavor Pepsi. Dead babies for profit were also recently discovered by customs officials in China, where corrupt medical staff are said to be tipping off medical companies when babies are aborted or delivered stillborn, according to the Daily Mail. So, I mean, did we really need another reason not to drink Pepsi? I mean, why on earth is anyone with half a brain still drinking Pepsi or any kind of soda when it's laden with aspartame, which we know from the studies done on rats, has the carcinogens which increase the risk of cancer? So, you know, if you're still drinking Pepsi in the knowledge that it contains human baby tissue, then I'm sorry, but you deserve everything that aspartame has to offer. Remember the story a few weeks ago, the woman who died from drinking soda, 10 liters of Coke a day, So I guess this is just like the zombie equivalent of brains to some people. I mean, they have to guzzle the aspartame. It's very nutritious for them. So, you know, if you're stupid enough to play in traffic, then you deserve to get run down. The information is freely available that not only is soda and Pepsi and Coke laden with this carcinogen, but now it also contains the nutritious aborted baby tissue. Yum, yum. Glug away. So now we're going to go on to our quote of the day on InfoWars Nightly News from 17th century French political historian Alex de Tocqueville. And he said this, quote, "Democracy and socialism have nothing in common but one word, equality. But notice the difference. While democracy seeks equality in liberty, socialism seeks equality in restraint and servitude." But, you know, apparently with Obama and Biden, we're going forward. We're going forward into a brave new Marxist world. And if you don't like the brand of socialism that they've got to offer, then we've got another 4 years of Trotskyite neocon conservatives as the alternative. What a choice that is, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, forward together with Obama and Biden. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I would again urge you to subscribe at prisonplanet.tv. If you're watching this on YouTube, of course, prisonplanet.tv is where InfoWars Nightly News is streamed live, along with all the other exclusive multimedia content. So that's going to wrap it up for today. I've been your host, Paul Joseph Watson, and we'll see you on the next edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt, or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. I'd like to thank Paul Joseph Watson for covering the news portion, and Alex Jones for also sending in that report on Kelly Thomas. Right next to me now, I have Patrick Henningsen, who's a writer and contributor to InfoWars.com, and we are about to release a special report that he produced. It's called Open Borders, Special Report on Fast and Furious. And with that, Patrick, how you doing?
I'm good, Rob. Thank you very much.
So tell us about this report. Who did you interview? What kind of information did you uncover? You were letting me in on some stuff behind the scenes, but it sounds very interesting.
Yeah, originally I entered this through the Sheriff Joe Arpaio's investigation of Obama's documents, birth documents, and Social Security number. And when we did that report with Rob Jacobson, when Rob came down, I met a number of people in the connected with the government here. And I was originally looking at doing a story on SB 1070, which is the federal lawsuit that DOJ has slapped on the state of Arizona for enforcing its own immigration laws. And through this story that I did on SB 1070, I learned that there are quite a few people in the government here that have intimate knowledge of Operation Fast and Furious. And so that kind of grew out of that. And I met a congressman who is Carl Seals, very helpful. and very generous with his time. And also he then referred me on to the ranking senator in the state legislature and another senator as well. And they kind of told me the inside scoop on Fast and Furious, and I've recorded some interviews with them. And also I spoke to owner of a gun shop that's at the center of the Fast and Furious investigation. I'm not going to say his name, but anybody following the story probably knows who I'm talking about. But he wasn't able to speak because he's currently on federal subpoena. Apparently there are big things afoot in the next few weeks or the next month with regards to Fast and Furious. And that was told to me by the owner of that gun shop. And also we've also got, you know, the situation of Fast and Furious, it's affected Arizona directly, not just crime in the Phoenix area and along the border, but it's also affected people have lost their lives basically here. And that's the main thing I wanted to get across in this film. I haven't found a comprehensive report on Fast and Furious when I was doing my research. So I decided that I'm going to make a comprehensive report on the origins of Fast and Furious and also what is the agenda behind it. And it's not just a theory. There's this theory that by some people that the government is incompetent, that the federal government is just incompetent. That is a,
We have the memos. We've seen the memos. CBS reported on them that they were looking for stories to go against the Second Amendment to create that demonization process. Now let me ask you this. Did you cover the fact that Bush was doing this before and that this goes all the way back to even the Reagan administration when they were shipping guns for drugs and doing all this with Iran-Contra? Did you start there or did you just start with Fast and Furious?
I started with Operation Wide Receiver,
okay,
which was hatched in 2007 under Roberto Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And that was gun walking. I didn't go back further than that because I wanted to keep this to a short length of a film. I have enough material to do a 45-minute or a one-hour documentary, and I think I'll probably work on that in the next few weeks. But Operation Wide Receiver was different than Fast and Furious because Operation Wide Receiver required federal agents to keep an eye on the guns as they tracked them over the border into Mexico, and also required the feds to coordinate with the Mexican authorities at least to try to apprehend or to break gang activity and cartel crime. Operation Fast and Furious has got none of that, and I kind of really illustrate that clearly in my film. And also I've got highlights of all the really good congressional testimonies that I was able to get from C-SPAN, who gave me permission to use those as well. And also we've got the senators and in this state, you know, this isn't your normal breed of politician. And this is the thing that really surprised me is I don't want to use the cliche, but these are real patriots working down here whose chief concern is their constituents and their citizens and guarding the liberties of the residents of Arizona. And they came out on camera and said and spelled it exactly what it is.
Right.
No mincing words, that this is a conspiracy by the federal government to gin up opposition, in the words of Senator Gould, to demonize the Second Amendment and to restrict gun ownership in the second term of Obama.
Sure.
This isn't something we're talking about, Rob. This is something that the highest ranking members of the state government in Arizona are saying publicly.
Well, are they planning on pressing any charges or filing anything in court to against, you know, Eric Holder and the Department of Justice? Is that even possible? Can we file charges against the Department of Justice for doing this?
Well, Daryl Issa has brought everyone knows by now, Daryl Issa has brought a contempt charge against Eric Holder. I mean, he's been proven to be lying. I've got his testimonies against, backed up against the CBS reports to show that he's a liar.
Right.
And also, I also said, revealed also that the White House intimidated CBS into dropping Fast and Furious coverage last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're involved in bullying with the media to try to kill, investigation into what is a completely failed operation. That is actually illegal on its face. It's illegal.
I would like to see The state of Arizona filed charges against Eric Holder personally and drag his butt down there for questioning and grill him, because that's what they need to do, because they're not doing that job in Congress. Issa is doing a whitewash, honestly, because he knows that they did it under Bush. And he's just kind of playing the field, oh, we're going to keep this a left and right paradigm thing when they're both sides are doing it. And that's what really pisses me off.
Well, the thing is, they did it under Bush, but they at least had some accountability in that operation. This one here has no other function other than to demonize gun owners and also to restrict the purchase of firearms in the border states, particularly Arizona and Texas. And both those states have very liberal gun laws. And, you know, as Senator Gould said, we can't forget that, you know, as Americans, we have the right, if we own property, we have the right to sell property to each other. And that includes gun shows. So they're trying to use Fast and Furious to create. And this is also something else, Rob. I had a senator lecturing on camera what Hegelian dialectic is.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And how it applies to Fast and Furious. And I was just, I couldn't believe I was hearing this. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't often feel really proud of the public servants. But when I heard Senator Gould talking about this, I felt proud that we had people in the state legislature who think like this and who are this, have this level of political awareness,
right,
and aren't going to be hoodwinked by what is clearly federal government out of control. And I said this at the end of the film. I said, this is a federal government that's out of control. And at some point, the child thinks it's become the parent. And that's what's really that's the big theme here is the state's sovereignty. And the original contract with the Constitution, the 50 states, gave limited powers to the federal government. And now we have a federal government that's now become a national government. And this is the main point of the film that I hope people get. And this is what was said by the senators. We've gone from a federal government to a national government. And can you believe what the implications of that and the reality of that is? That is the baby steps towards a complete totalitarian socialist state.
Well, if you look around you, that's what most of the slobs want. They want to be taken care of. They want government to take care of them and provide for them from cradle to grave. And it's unfortunate that we're seeing that more and more, and that we actually have to speak up to get the rights that were granted to us under the Constitution and under God, you know, frankly. Let's go to the gun owner. You talked to the gun owner. You didn't talk to him on camera, but you relayed, parts of what you had in your conversation. What was he telling you?
Well, he couldn't speak to me very much because he's under FBI surveillance, and this is what the Department of Justice does. They're using the FBI politically to spy on witnesses on what is going to be a big case, which is in the works right now regarding indictments. And there might be indictments. He didn't say specifically, but he said, I'm not going to say anything, but just there's going to be big developments in this month of May with regards to Fast and Furious. But, you know, he was nearly put out of business by the ATF's little operation. And, you know, it's honest, hardworking Americans just trying to run a business. And here they've got the federal government involved on a deep level in basically trying to entrap and also do the worst thing possible, which is arm criminal cartels over the border.
Mm-hmm.
With guns. And, you know, and also the other thing my film spells out clearly, and I took clips from the White House SPP meeting with Calderon and Obama in May, which is that they're trying to make this fallacy that it's American guns that are, you know, getting into the hands of the Mexican cartels. And it's a total lie. I've outlined it from A to Z in the film. So I wanted to make a film that if someone didn't know about Fast and Furious, they can watch this and get up to speed and see what the real issues are. And I think I've achieved that with this 20-minute film. But the other thing, Rob, I'm going to say is I've never edited a film before. So this is my first one. I taught myself with free software. I used a handheld HD camera. I had a very inexpensive lapel microphone wireless system, and I did this on free software. And the reason I did it is because I want to also demonstrate to people out there in the info war that you don't need to spend a lot of money. You don't need to have heavy equipment or, even the best software. Now, if I redo this film, I might do it on Premiere or Final Cut Pro. But this version, I wanted to show what you can do. So there's no barrier to getting into the InfoWar. You can make a really good film that's better than anything Michael Moore makes.
How dare you get off your butt and do something productive? Yeah. How dare you?
And so this is an example. This film, this is my first go at a film, and I think it came out pretty well. And also, it's just to show that you can do this with little or no resources. Money should not come into the issue in the InfoWar. So look at this film, anybody watching it, and say, right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something similar. The doors were open for me. They invited me into the state government, Rob.
They're looking for people to talk to about this. Yeah, you know, they're dying to talk about it. I got two final questions here. Did the gun owner know he was part of Fast and Furious when it was taking place?
He's the gun shop owner, Rob.
The gun shop owner. Yeah. Was he aware that he was part of this operation?
He was. He was basically, he had illegal, straw man purchasers come into the shop, buying loads of semi-automatics and so forth, and it red flagged immediately. Some of them had criminal records.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. And he calls up the FBI or the ATF, and they say, no, sell him the guns, sell him the guns.
What?
Yes. And I've got all this on camera, okay?
Yeah.
This has been recounted by the senators.
Yeah.
Sorry, it wasn't from the gun shop owner, but
right. This
is to show people the level of crime that we're looking at with Fast and Furious. This scandal threatens the Obama administration more than any other scandals, and Lord knows he's got his share.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
But this one doesn't involve bribery or Watergate lying or corruption. No. This involves lives. The men have died in the line of duty, and these are good men. They have families, and this is a direct result of Fast and Furious. And that's another big hammer I hit home at the end of the film. This isn't about Watergate tapes or lying or bribery or corruption. No. This is about lives.
Right. Now, two lives in particular, Judge Roll and Congresswoman Giffords.
Well, did you
go into that as talk to them about that being a possible assassination attempt because they were investigating Fast and Furious together?
I spoke about that to one member of the government, and he didn't have much forthcoming information on it, so I kind of realized that trail is not going to go anywhere right now, but I'm going to revisit that trail later, Rob. I've also got invitation by the DPS to go down in an armed escort along the border and film if I want to take this to another level. So that's a little caveat. But, you know, the Gabriella Giffords, Judge Rolls thing definitely is going to be looked into. But also we've got Rob Krentz, rancher who was shot and killed on the border.
Right.
This is linked with Fast and Furious. And Pinal County Sheriff's Deputy Louis Perrault, who was wounded by AK-47 fire. Three AK-47 gunmen triangulate and fire on a sheriff's deputy. He was rescued within an inch of his life. Okay, this is some serious stuff going on down there, and and the people in Washington, personally, I don't think they're serious. They don't really care. They just care about their political agenda, which is to demonize gun owners, to demonize private property, and to demonize the Second Amendment. That's their chief concern. They don't care about the lives.
And collect payoffs from the special interests. Don't forget that. Patrick, thanks for doing this film. We're going to premiere right now. We appreciate your hard work, and I guess you're heading off to England, so we'll see you next time. It'll be over the pond.
Yep, definitely.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
And with that, we're going to have the premiere of, it is called Open Border Special Report, Fast and Furious. This is a good primer to send to your friends, spread it around, watch it, take notes. Do your own research. Wayne Madsen was the one who uncovered this Judge Roll Gabby Giffords link, and I really think this could. My gut tells me that's part of the triangle of what we have going on here with government buying guns, shipping them down to Mexico, and then blaming it on the Second Amendment. And with that, we're going to go to the film, and that's all for our show today. After that, and I'm Rob Dew, and this is InfoWars Nightly News, and thank you for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member. It's very easy to do. You go to prisonplanet.tv. We have a 15-day free trial. It's very easy to do. Help us out. Help us spread the word. If you can't get a membership, maybe get your friend to get a membership. And, you know, you can share your passcode with up to six people. So there you go. That's all we have for today. We're going to go to the movie now. Open Borders Special Report, Fast and Furious. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time.
We have two Border Patrol agents who are dead, who were killed by guns that were allowed, as far as we can tell, to deliberately walk out of gun shops under the program often called Fast and Furious.
Did you ever approve or sanction investigations that allowed gun walking?
No, not to my knowledge.
Now that you've been briefed on it, the president has said on March 22nd that you didn't authorize it. Did your Deputy Attorney General James Cole authorize it?
I'm sorry, did the beat?
The Deputy Attorney General James Cole.
I didn't hear, did he?
We have a dead Border Patrol agent in Agent Terry. We have 2,000 missing guns. We have 200 deaths in Mexico. We had dead government officials in Mexico. We have a Mexican helicopter with troops in it that shot, three of which are wounded, back in May of this year. We have 50-plus members of Congress calling for your resignation over this, and you've never spoken to any one of these people about this operation.
I think it's very important to recognize that you, as the Attorney General, with all due respect, need to be held accountable, or someone does, as to what happened.
I should be held accountable for certainly my role in whatever I did or didn't do in connection with the supervision of Fast and Furious. But, yeah, I'm Attorney General of the United States, and I should also be held accountable and perhaps even given some credit.
This program, as you know, and the president's been asked about it, you've been asked about it, allowed for weapons to be sold to straw purchasers, and ultimately, many of those weapons are today in the hands of drug cartels and other criminals. When did you first know about the program, officially, I believe, called Fast and Furious? To the best of your knowledge, what date?
I'm not sure of the exact date, but I probably heard about Fast and Furious for the first time over the last few weeks.
This was the lie that made U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder the focus of Fast and Furious investigations. Documents obtained by CBS News prove that Holder lied, but their veteran reporter, Cheryl Atkinson, soon became a target of the White House, who attempted to intimidate the network into dropping their coverage of Fast and Furious. Believing it should remain above the law, even in the face of damning evidence of their illegal operation, an operation conveniently hidden inside President Obama's 2009 stimulus bill, and an operation that flooded the Mexican black market with thousands of illegally obtained firearms. The first incarnation of federal gun walking was hatched in 2007 under the watch of then Attorney General Roberto Gonzalez through Operation Wide Receiver. But that operation required federal agents to track firearms into Mexico and worked with Mexican security services to trace guns and apprehend cartel criminals. Unlike Fast and Furious, which had no tracking, no tracing, and no real objectives, in what can only be described as a federal government appearing to partner with organized crime in Mexico. As a result, the violence has increased on both sides of the border since Fast and Furious went live in 2009. In April 2010, Pinal County Sheriff's Deputy Louis Perol was shot and wounded by AK-47 fire, but was rescued, narrowly escaping with his life, in an incident that prompted one of the largest manhunts in state history involving some 200 officers from multiple agencies. Rob Krentz, Skion, of one of the Southwest's most well-known ranching families, was shot and killed on March 27, 2010, most likely by traffickers who were using his land to mule narcotics over the Mexican border and into the country, as is captured by these hidden cameras along some of Arizona's most well-known smuggling routes. ICE Special Agent Jamie Zapata, assigned to human smuggling and trafficking, was gunned down in cold blood in February 2011 whilst in the line of duty and traveling in Mexico. And DHS Border Agent Brian Terry, a member of the BORTAC unit, was shot and killed on December 14th, 2010, northwest of Nogales. And the gun recovered at the scene was traced directly back to Operation Fast and Furious. InfoWars traveled to Arizona, to the state capitol, to speak to senators and congressmen about the details of Fast and Furious, and also to discover the real agenda lurking behind the operation.
The Fast and Furious incident with this whole thing, what brought that to light was one of the weapons used to kill Agent Terry was one of the guns that was sold as part of the gun walking program that the U.S. Attorney General and the ATF were involved with, where they were selling guns to people that were known criminals who failed an FBI background check, where the flag, the gun dealer, the gun owner said, hey, this guy comes up bad, and the FBI said, sell it to him anyways, sell him the gun anyways, even though they knew that this was a bad sale.
They had people that violated the law, that they essentially bought weapons that were in an illegal strawman transfer and then lost track of those, if they ever had the ability to even track them at all, as they were sold into a crime syndicate.
In the previous stings that were done by the federal government, the agents were required to maintain eyes on the firearms and not let the guns out of their sight. In this particular episode, they were buying lots of guns and just flooding the illegal market with these guns and not actually tracking the guns. So a lot of these guns crossed into Mexico, and the agents, no one knew where they were. And in this particular episode, those bandits that encountered Agent Terry were carrying some of those firearms that were bought and transferred to them during the Fast and Furious operation. We talk about the gun owner or the gun store owner here in Arizona that had raised the red flag and actually tape recorded a conversation with the FBI and ATF over the phone where he had said, hey, look, I don't think I should sell this firearm. And they're telling him, you need to sell the firearm. And he said, no, I don't think I should sell it. And they said, well, we're telling you to sell the gun. Well, the guy sells the gun, and then a couple weeks later they come in and raid his store and get all his records and try to make it look like he was the bad guy, that, and they were going to try to pin it on him that he had sold these illegal guns to these illegal, what we call prohibited possessors. And during that effort, he was able to bring up this phone call and provide, and then, of course, they backed off. But the ATF went in there and raided his store to try to make it look like he had been illegally selling firearms when, in fact, he had covered himself, luckily, with a tape-recorded telephone call to cover his rear end. And it's fortunate for him. Had he not done that, the ATF would have gone after him, shut his business down, and probably thrown him in jail. So this is part of the effort, and I think it's wrong. You take a guy trying to do an honest day's work, and then you keep enticing him, until eventually the guy, reaches a point where he gets sucked in.
Here in the United States, we've increased cooperation on our southern border and dedicated new resources to reducing the southbound flow of money and guns.
Clearly, I expressed it to President Obama and to Prime Minister Harper that the fight that Mexico is experiencing for a safer North America also requires a strengthening of national actions, amongst other things, to stop the traffic of weapons.
The Obama administration was trying to create a situation where they could put more repressive gun control on the United States and by perpetrating the fallacy that Mexican drug cartels are using American-made weapons in their war with the Mexican government and with each other on the border.
And we sustain that the expiry of the assault weapons ban in the year 2004 coincided almost exactly with the beginning of the harshest period of violence we've ever seen.
That's a fallacy in itself. These are automatic weapons. They're not buying them at gun shows in Arizona. And they're not buying them at gun shops in Arizona. Those weapons are semi-automatic rifles. They're using full automatic weapons that were originally manufactured as automatic weapons. These are not conversion weapons. These are originally manufactured as automatic selective fire weapons. So it's not some garage conversion. They're buying these things on the foreign market. They're not coming out of the United States. And you even saw Mayor Bloomberg of New York after the Gabby Gifford shooting, which he does any time that there is a shooting, is he goes to states where we allow people to sell guns back and forth to each other at gun shows and tries to gin up opposition to you and I selling Grandpa's deer rifle at a gun show, because we need to remember that guns are property, you know, and that as free Americans, we're allowed to sell property to other people. And all this really does is deprive the law-abiding citizen of the ability to own a gun. And I think that's their end goal, to tell you the truth.
Only a small fraction of the firearms in Mexico are coming from the United States. Most of the large caliber automatic weapons are coming from Central America and other parts of South America and the Southern Hemisphere. There are some guns coming from the United States. We're a border with Mexico. So, yeah, people, and we've caught people trying to smuggle guns out of Arizona, and they've been caught trying to smuggle them into Mexico. So there is some gun trafficking going on. But to blame Mexico's problems on the United States is just par for the course for President Calderon and anybody else. Everybody blames the United States, and they won't blame themselves. We have a failed narco state to our south where the cartels have corrupted the Mexican government. And there is no desire on Mexico's part to deal with this problem the way it should be dealt with. And because of that, you know, their scapegoat excuse is to blame the United States. And I think it's just, again, trying to shift blame on the United States. We're not the problem in Mexico. Mexico is the problem in Mexico.
The federal government's been at war with Arizona over illegal immigration for nearly a decade, even more so under the Obama administration. And essentially what they've done is they've created a situation where we have Mexican crime spilling into Arizona. We've had drug cartel crime. We've had execution-style crime happen in the Phoenix area. And a lot of this is, one, the federal government will not defend the border. And even worse than that, now they're even arming our enemies, essentially, on the Mexican side of the border. You know, it's essentially treasonous because these are being used against American citizens. They've traced these even to execution-style murders of Mexican attorneys recently as this week. You know, so they're creating an unstable situation on the border. You know, it's bad enough they won't defend us against illegal immigration, but now they're essentially arming the people that profit from the drug trade on the border.
They still haven't properly funded border resources. They talk about it, but in all reality, they're not serious about it. I mean, we know Fast and Furious is a clear evidence of that, that they're not serious. They're not. After the Krentz murder and the Officer Brian, and as an outgrowth of Fast and Furious, they're not serious. I dare say it's going to take. I think it would take probably an armed invasion of, say, Nogales or Douglas for them to probably send out the National Guard.
It's a failure. All of these incidents come from one source only, and that is the failure of the federal government to gain operational control and protect the sovereignty of this country by securing our border. I mean, that's really the problem. Agent Terry would be alive today. Rob Krentz would be alive today if the federal government had done its job and secured this border to make sure only lawful commerce comes across our borders. And, you know, we love trading with our trading partner, Mexico. You know, I got the Port of Douglas. I got the Port of Nogales. You know, we want trade to occur, but we want lawful and legal trade. And the federal government has failed to encourage lawful and legal trade and, ironically, has actually encouraged illegal trade through Fast and Furious because they are subsidizing illegal gun running in the state of Arizona. So instead of securing the border and promoting legal trade, they're actually leaving the border unsecure and sort of supporting illegal trade, which is just an astonishing thing, and it's backwards.
Did the Deputy Attorney General authorize it?
My guess would be no. Mr. Cole, I don't think he was in the department at the time that operation started.
But he's been aware of it much longer.
Been aware of it much longer?
Than you have, since you've only been aware of it a few weeks.
You have to understand the way in which the department operates. Although there are operations, this one has gotten a great deal of publicity.
Yeah, there are dead Americans as a result of this failed and reckless program. So I would say that it hasn't gotten enough attention, has it, Mr. Attorney General?
It's not necessarily. I mean,
well, you've seen the Department of Justice, which is politicized basically regardless of what president is in control, because they work for the president, essentially. You've seen them through the use of the Fast and Furious, where they're actually running guns to foreign nationals to use in crime. It's a consolidation of power. And what you're doing is you're moving towards a national government and away from a federal government. And under a federal government, they had limited power.
Well, of course, the Attorney General should be removed from office, number one. He is part of, he's the head of the agency that's basically stonewalling and covering up and prohibiting this investigation from being conducted through the duly constitutional committee of the U.S. Congress that has oversight of the federal government. And I think Congressman Issa will bring some of that to light with his filing contempt charges. But I think that there are quite a few people, both in the Department of Justice, the ATF, and other agencies that are involved that need to be disciplined and removed from their positions, terminated, fired, resigned, or whatever. And a full investigation needs to continue. I don't think you're going to get it with the current president.
Well, of course, we've got to hold someone responsible. But what I've noticed about government is it's slow and bureaucratic. And by the time they're saying, oh, here's someone responsible, there'll probably be several more murders in the desert.
And it may result in us not knowing for a couple years until we get somebody in that office that will cooperate with the investigation. I think it's pretty clear. If you read and seen some of the testimony in Chairman Issa's committee, that in my opinion, as a member of the Arizona legislature, I believe that the federal government was trying to make our state of Arizona, look bad because of our pro-Second Amendment views here. We believe in the right to keep and bear arms, and we're a very pro-gun state. And they were deliberately targeting pro-gun states, purchasing guns in pro-gun states, and smuggling guns out of our state into Mexico. And I believe an effort to malign the state of Arizona and our very liberal gun laws that we have here. And, they were going to use that as an excuse to tighten those laws against the will of the state and of the citizens of the state, one of which I had mentioned earlier was an effort to limit the number of firearms you would be able to purchase in Arizona in a one-month period. And they were going to do this with any state along the border and not impose it on the rest of the country. And they were going to do it through an executive order or an agency direction rather than through a vote of the Congress. And I think that's a lot of things that make me a little nervous when you have a bureaucrat, an unelected bureaucrat, that does not go through the legislative process, imposing what is clearly an infringement on individual liberty and the right to keep and bear arms through just a bureaucratic fiat. And I'm glad that there were groups out there that opposed that and brought it to light and defused it before it could happen. But again, I think it's an excuse. I mean, a lot of these events that occur, I believe, are set up to try to push an agenda, and that agenda is control. I mean, the federal government's mission right now is to control the lives of every American to the greatest degree possible. And I believe that's what that was about. It was about, you know, Arizona to the federal government, Arizona's out of control. And they want to come in here and control. They want to control our water. They want to control our laws and our policies within the state. And they don't like the fact that we're a very free state. We pride ourselves in trying to put as much individual liberty in the hands of the people of the state as possible, and it just drives the federal government nuts.
I believe that Eric Holder actually knew what was going on and was involved in the operation, and you can tell that from some of his testimony. He needs to be impeached. And he needs to actually be criminally punished for what he's doing. A mere resignation, I don't think, is enough. And you can actually see a trail of this up to the Obama White House in reality. You know, up to cabinet level positions. Because I think this was some kind of a grand conspiracy that they dreamt up. They thought somehow that they were immune from actually getting caught and that they could actually gin up opposition to the free ownership of guns and make more restrictive gun laws because of this. You know, it's Hegelian dialectic is what it's actually called. That you create a, when you create a problem and then you ride in on the white horse as the savior to the problem. You know, in reality, you end up, you've lost your freedom from a situation that was created by government. And we need to stand up to these kind of things.
Of all the scandals in Washington, none threaten the Obama administration more than Operation Fast and Furious. And while other scandals involve bribery or corruption or lying, Fast and Furious involves lives, real lives, lives like Rob Krentz, Agent Zapata, and Agent Terry, all victims of federal gun running south of the border into Mexico. When will it end? And when will someone from the federal government step forward and take responsibility for the violence that has been perpetrated and done on American taxpayers' time? One thing is sure. This is a federal government that has grown out of control and seems bent on restricting the Second Amendment rights of Americans and free states like Arizona and Texas. This is Patrick Henningsen for InfoWars.com.